You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Custom window treatments are a small upgrade that have a big impact. No better time to shop than now at Blinds.com's Memorial Day Mega Sale. Blinds.com invented a better way to shop for custom window treatments. 100% online with upfront pricing, no showroom markups, no pushy salespeople in your home. Whether you're a DIY warrior, prefer the white glove treatment, or somewhere in between, Blinds.com can help. Our design experts can help you make the perfect selection on your schedule. Plus, we can even handle everything from measure to install. Style every room effortlessly with classic shutters for living spaces, blackout for bedrooms, motorized options for ease, shades for your patio too. With over 25 million windows covered and 40,000 five-star reviews, Blinds.com is the trusted name in custom window treatments, all backed by our 100% satisfaction guarantee. Shop Blinds.com's Memorial Day Mega Sale. Save up to 50% site-wide. Plus, get a free measure now at Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
At Designer Shoe Warehouse, we believe that shoes are an important part of, well,
everything. From first steps to first dates, from all-nighters to all-time personal bests.
From building pillow forts to building a life.
For all the big and small moments that make up your whole world, DSW is there. And we've got just the shoes. Find a shoe for every you from brands you love at brag-worthy prices. At your DSW store or DSW.com.
All right, 11 o'clock hour here on Cody and Gold. Alex Gould, Cody Tapp with you. Drew Nixon back in the studio producing the show. We are up in Briarcliff broadcasting for the next couple of hours till 1:30 before we hand things off to Vern for his On Deck show. The reason why we're up here, we're at the beautiful location of Heartland Men's Health, one of three area clinics, Independence, Overland Park as well. And since April of 2023, they've successfully treated thousands of men across their three locations. They're the leading provider of men's sexual health treatments throughout the greater Kansas City area. And we've told you, as we've been up here a few times now, ED is more common than most people realize. In fact, many men will actually face erectile dysfunction at some point in their lives, while some experience it for years. Studies indicated that nearly 50% of men over the age of 50 in the United States are affected by this condition. If you've noticed something's just not right, give them a call, schedule that appointment. You're not going to have to sit in a waiting room and be awkward for like a half hour or anything. No, you're going to get in immediately. So you're not sitting out there. It's very discreet. It's a clean, professional environment here. You don't wait around. Take that first step. Give them a call, 844-447-6600, 844-447-6600, or visit heartlandmenshealth.com to schedule your appointment, again, at any one of the three area locations.
All right, I told you. I think something is going on with the Chiefs is criminal, and I stand by that.
Okay.
I saw this stat yesterday from Josh Norris. 70.2% of Xavier Worthy's targets last season traveled 9 yards or fewer downfield. And I guess...
Doesn't that speak to the whole offense last year?
But what's the point of drafting a guy with 4.21 speed if your plan is to throw him the ball 4 yards away? You're not taking advantage of his speed. And for years, I don't know, like, maybe it is the offensive line, admittedly. And we can talk more about the offensive line here in a little bit. Maybe it is. Maybe that's part of the issue. But I think part of the issue is that Andy Reid has seen some success in this dink and dunk short game, you know, trying to almost be like the Sean Payton, Drew Brees offense. I'm like, you got Patrick Mahomes, and you took a guy with 4.21 speed and Xavier Worthy. You have downfield threats. It is time to take some chances. Getting Xavier Worthy and then just giving him the ball 5 yards from the line of scrimmage is a waste in a lot of circumstances. And when I watched that, my initial instinct is push the ball downfield and see if maybe it goes a different direction. I feel like some of it is offensive line, but some of it is they've settled into it doesn't stop them from winning. It goes back to like the Andy Reid aggressiveness part where it doesn't stop them from winning. So like, why do I feel this need to like, try to push it with Xavier Worthy or try to push the ball down the field. And you're like, this team needs it. The offense has got to carry this team at some point again.
I think a couple things, though, with Worthy in particular, that stat, that percentage and the yardage. Let's not forget for the first, let's estimate, 8 weeks-ish of the season, there was a clear disconnect on both Mahomes and Worthy's part. Mahomes, whether it's trust, I don't know, but Worthy would not have great spatial awareness, basically, on the field. He would be out of bounds. The foot would be out. He'd run too close to the sidelines. So there was that issue too.
Targets. I mean, they still count towards targets, even if you stand on the sideline.
Sure, but like some, but at some point, you know, you lose trust. I think that was part of it. The question we're going to get an answer to this year is when all three are on the field, Brown, Rice, Worthy, when defenses have to account for all three, and this is what the Chiefs are at least banking on. We're going to find out if it works. It's why they weren't going out and signing big-time free agent wide receiver. They didn't spend a first-round pick on it or second-round pick on a wide receiver. They're banking that they had the right personnel at wide receiver. They just weren't all on the field at the same time for health reasons. And some of these guys, of course, have a track record of not staying on the field anyway. So that's the gamble that they are taking. But I think absolutely, as we saw in the Super Bowl late, I understand garbage time, you saw the potential of his skill set. While it was garbage time, the Eagles did not have like their third stringers in. There was still starters in, but it was just lack of, there wasn't the pressure in that moment. My point is, that was a glimpse on Xavier Worthy, down the field threat, what he could be this year. But I do think we have to recognize the first 2-3 months of the season last year, the deep shots just were not working even when Worthy got open. And it was both Mahomes and Worthy's issue. I think a lot of it was Worthy being a rookie and just having no real field awareness.
I give Andy a lot of credit for adjusting his NFL career. Why the hell hasn't he adjusted off of this this short passing game stuff that isn't working? The hitch routes to Travis Kelce, the swing plays, the end arounds. Like I don't care which one it is. I've got 2 straight years of evidence, Gold, that it ain't there. It isn't going to work. And the only way it is going to work, Gold, is if exactly what I'm talking about. The ball goes down the field so that you actually can hand it off to someone 2 yards away from you and have a little space to operate. It is time to adjust off of this short yardage package game stuff that I would argue has not been successful for 2 consecutive years and has consistently been setting them back.
Yeah, I mean, I think they would like to do what you're saying. I think some of it is they just have not been capable of doing it. For a variety of reasons, some of what we just mentioned with Worthy in the beginning of the season, not having guys consistently get open, and then it goes back to the left tackle problem, and not consistently feeling comfortable in your tackles and trusting your tackles and being able to hold on the ball long enough for that to develop down the field. So it's there's not one simple answer to the question. I think we all have recognized the issues with the big play threats not being there. And that was the whole thing with the Super Bowl. Everybody wants to talk about the Super Bowl and say it was just the offensive line problem. Guys weren't getting, nobody was getting open in that game either.
No. Nope.
It was not just that, hey, the left side of the offensive line was leaking oil, to say the least. But there was not individuals like Brown or Kelce or Worthy getting open in that football game. So, yeah, some of it is not enough time. Some of it's scheme. Like, there's not one simple answer. We all, I think, acknowledge right after the Super Bowl, where was the coaching adjustment? So it's everybody has been to blame for that.
I'm saying you might need a scheme adjustment unless you're going to get the ball down the field. All that other stuff Andy likes to do that has worked previously in the NFL doesn't work unless you were actually a threat somewhere. And like, how do you have this guy? How's he not one of the threats?
Yeah, I mean to say it didn't work. Like again, they're judged on a different scale because
offensively. I'm not saying from a winning.
Yeah, they're judged on a different scale because they obviously have won as much as they have. But I would say like, let's not act like they're 20th best offense in football or something like that. How do they get from 12th, 13th back to 5th? That's the leap, and the only way you see that leap is if obviously there's some explosive plays down the field. But acting like Patrick Mahomes doesn't want to throw the ball down the field is a bunch. I know you're not saying that, but like no. That'd be a bunch of crap, right? Like obviously he and they, as a staff, want to get the ball down the field. I only thing I push back on is this idea of like, you know, it hasn't worked. Well. It can always improve. It can get better. It hasn't worked. I mean, they've won 3 Super Bowls in 5 years, and out of those 3 titles, it wasn't like the offense was connecting down the field left and right every single time. Remember, Tyreek Hill was only here for one of those rings.
Yeah, the last 2 years is where my issue has been in the design. And to a point of like, is it holding them back? No, because you have one of the league's best defenses, so you get to go to the Super Bowl both years and outside of that. But I would say any offense with Andy Reid and Patrick Mahomes that for the last 2 years ranks 14th, is I'd be looking myself in the mirror very seriously. Because, yeah, their standard is not you went from 25th to 21st. You got Patrick Mahomes. You got to be better than that. You're only judged, in my opinion, on where you rank in the top 15. I don't even care what anybody after 15 does. I don't care about 16 through 32. They don't matter for this conversation. In the last 2 years, I don't feel like your offense has worked the way it should because you are one of the worst teams out of any of the teams you should be ranked amongst. Not the doldrums of the league where you were certainly better than, especially going back to like where the offensive line was, the interior of the offensive line certainly is not some wretched disaster point that's causing an issue. And so that part of it, I'm really looking forward to, and I know that they care. I'm not saying gold. It's not even that.
I mean, look at training camp.
They try to get the ball downfield. They had wide receiver injuries last year. I'm just tired of the hitches, swing routes, end arounds, and none of that stuff works unless you push the ball down the field. I'm not against it in general. I'm against it currently.
Yeah, I'm just saying, like, I think that was part of their plan. Yeah. And we saw it in training camp. How many times will we be doing shows up there last year? And then we'll be up there here before we know it. And Worthy in particular, but also Rashee Rice, it was nothing but shots down the field. Nothing but that. And then early in the year, Worthy was still a rookie. And then Rashee Rice got hurt, you know, quarter of the way into the week 4 game, I guess it was, against the Chargers. And then at that point in time, Worthy had to become more of an underneath guy. Travis Kelce was asked to be the focus of the offense again. That was never, and this is where we're going to all find out if it pans out, but I think last year went in with Rice being the focal point of the offense, and he got hurt, and so it changed everything. So this year you go in with the same personnel at wide receiver / tight end, and if they're on the field together, they're banking on like they had the right personnel. They just did not have them available, and so that changed the entire scheme and play. And teams could play them differently. So go ahead, Drew.
I was going to say it definitely feels more schematic because I think consensus wise, we would say I'll use the Houston Texans as the example here because I looked some stuff up. Houston Texans offensive line, I think we would all say struggled last year. They were not very good.
Yeah.
They averaged 8.1 inner yards per attempt. The Chiefs were dead last in the league at 6.2. In terms of total inner yards, the Texans were fourth in the league with a bad offensive line. In in-air yards, the Chiefs were in the bottom five. So I think it's more of a schematic thing where, Rashee Rice is the focal point of the offense, but Rashee Rice is that guy that's the possession wide receiver. Like, he's not running deep down the field often anyway. So their focal point being Rashee, I feel like, and Travis Kelce, they're limiting themselves in terms of depth per target because of the focal point. They're going to run through the guys that
go 8 yards down the field instead of 4.
No, but I'd push back though and say I don't think, other than maybe when you had Tyreek Hill, I don't think any, if we're talking about the focal point of an offense, I don't think anybody's focal point is 50 yards down the field. You don't build your offense off of just taking shots 30 yards down the field. You have to have the ability to consistently have mesh routes or whatever it may be. And Rice is more of a possession type receiver anyway. So I get what you're saying, Drew. I think a lot of it though, heading into this year, Rashee Rice should be the focal point of the offense again.
Agreed.
He absolutely should be. That doesn't mean that they're not trying to get opportunities down the field. I think the key is he's the focus of the offense, and that should open things up for Worthy down the field. And last year they just didn't have that because obvious reasons. Rice was no longer available, and then they were asking Kelce to do that, and it was not the same player in that role that he had been before. And then you were still talking about a rookie and Worthy being asked to do that. We all know Hollywood Brown was already out for the season. So I want to see what it looks like when Rice, Worthy, and Brown with Kelce are all available and see if their actual plan – I don't think we ever got to see their actual plan.
No, that's fair. Yeah, we didn't. I mean, I can't really make an argument for we didn't get to see it because at this point, no, there's no indication of it. We were watching the Royals game last night on the West Coast, and I guess I've been scoreboard watching a little bit, even though I know it's early for that.
Already?
We're quickly approaching a third way through the season.
You're already checking in on the Tigers scores every night?
Yeah, woo! Not every night, woo-hoo! But I'm not saying I don't check in.
Okay.
Again, how many games have the Royals played? 50?
51, or going into 51, I guess.
So they're going into 51 tonight? They played 50? We're a third of the way through the season, man.
Yeah, I'm not setting up score alerts for the Tigers, Twins, and Guardians yet. It's a little early.
I don't know that I've ever done that. 54, as we know, is the third way through. So we're only 4 games away from being a third of the way through the Major League Baseball season. I guess I started to wonder as I was looking at these teams, Are the Tigers going to run away with the division?
Mm.
Is it too early to say that? Because now, here's part of the problem I'm having with not talking myself into that. Tigers have the best record in the American League. The Tigers have scored. They have pitched. They got a Cy Young candidate guy. I understand they got some things going their way that you're like...
Javier Baez.
Yeah, like, Javier Baez is probably the obvious answer of, like, can that continue forever? Or, like, at some point, does regression to the mean find Javi Baez? But I'm kind of factoring in what the run they went on last year was. And that might be more indicative of who they really are, Gold. This is a team that can score and pitch with as any team in the American League, which means they can do a lot more than anyone else in the division. The Twins, Guardians, and Royals are within a half a game of each other. And I feel like they're going to get stuck in the wash. And my fear is that you almost already can see the writing on the wall that the Tigers might run away with it. The only thing that gives me pause is that the Royals and a number of other teams in the division still have a lot of games left against them. Royals play the Tigers 9 more times, so they still completely control their own fate in that department.
Yeah, I think it's too early to suggest somebody's going to run away with the division. I mean, because on the flip side, if I told you the Royals were in the exact same spot the Tigers were, I don't think you would confidently be thinking the Royals were going to run away with the division. I think, while yes, it's game 51 this afternoon against the Giants, and we get into, like, hey, it's almost Memorial Day, it's no longer early, I'm with you there. But there is just way too much baseball to be played to suggest that somebody in a crowded... Because here's the reason why I think you don't run away with it. It's not just the Royals and Tigers race. The Tigers are also still... They're trying to deal with the Royals and the Twins and the Guardians. The fact that everybody except for the White Sox are good is why I don't think anybody's running away with it. If it was a two-horse race and they, like, there was a huge drop-off after the Royals and Tigers and like the Twins stunk or the Guardians stunk and the White Sox were what they are, which is trash, then I would be with you. But because you have four teams in this division that are all winning baseball teams this year and on, you know, potentially playoff teams this
as
year,
of right now,
as of right now, that's why, no, I don't think they're running with it. The Tigers look dangerous, though. Oh, man, do they ever. What they were doing in August and September last year, they have just rolled right in to the 2025 season. And some things are going to be there all year for them. Skubal, he's legit. Like, nobody, what he's doing, that's going to be. Javier Baez having a career resurgence. Not as sold that's going to happen all year. We'll see. But they got some good – look, they had a great farm system, and it's paying off for them now all of a sudden. I think they have a great manager as well in A.J. Hinch. Jackson Job, the young pitcher as well, he looks legit. Like, you just keep going through it, and how aggressive are they going to be at the trade deadline? That's going to be the biggest swing in this whole thing. We can talk about how bunched together these teams are. If anybody were to run away with it, I don't think it's possible, but it would be if three of the teams just decide to stand pat and only one, in this case the Tigers, go out and they try to get a bat, they try to get another bullpen arm. Or is it going to be the Royals that are aggressive and try to get a bat or two? But as we talked with J.J. Piccolo yesterday, we're a ways off from any team being able to pull off trades like that. It is yes, a third of the way through the season just about, but because of the expanded playoffs that we all know exist now over the last couple of years, unless you're the White Sox or the Rockies, maybe the Pirates, everybody else thinks they're still in it.
Orioles? Orioles still think they're in it? They're 15-32. Just fire their manager.
They fire their manager. Because
that might be the only other one.
That might be it. But even then, like, other than that, nobody else wants to be sellers yet because they still think they're in it. You mentioned the schedule stuff. You're wondering, just updated strength of schedule. The Royals have the fourth toughest schedule remaining in all baseball. Based off of strength of schedule. They do have the Tigers 9 more times, Cody. They still have the Dodgers 3, the Yankees 3, Mets 3, Cubs 3. And the easiest opponents, they do have the White Sox 9 more times.
Huzzah!
They have the Marlins 3, Nationals a couple times. But the problem is the Tigers actually have the fifth easiest schedule the rest of the way. They have 10 against the White Sox, 3 against those Orioles, 6 against those Pirates.
Royals already beat the Orioles. That's part of the reason they got in there. And I think the Royals have been... A lot of what's happening this year was last year, right? Where they're winning the first couple of... They're winning a game in the series, and then it always comes down to the rubber match, right? Like, they got the first game against the Astros, then it was the rubber match. Mm-hmm. And they got the first game against the Giants, and now it's coming down to the rubber match. And then, of course, they'll head to Minnesota this weekend, where they've been very, very, very good at home. This, after they get through this game, really interesting stretch to find out where the Royals are. Because you get on the road at Minnesota... Then you take your little brief reprieve against the Cincinnati Reds, who I think are okay. I don't know their exact record. They're not the Rockies, I guess. And then they get the Tigers. And then the following week, they get the Yankees. And so, like, the Cardinals.
Reds are 500.
Okay, the Cardinals again and some of these others. Like, they got two kind of, like, mediocre teams, a bad team in the White Sox, a mediocre team in the Reds. But then between that, the Tigers, the Cardinals, the Twins, and the Yankees. Teams you're competing on either the wild card spot, the division four, or are just really good baseball teams. By the time we get through, again, mid-June, we'll be right back in this same boat of, like, where is this team? And you and I said before, with Lugo and Reagan's out, I would like the offense to step up on one of these games. And, of course, last night was not the game for that, where they, again, only managed two runs.
All right,
they got
Drew.
Four runs in two games and have
yeah.
a win at least.
Yeah. All right, Drew, let's get to it.
Trash of the day.
You guys remember on Monday we had the story of the birds in the building. Now, we are not in the studio today. We are out at Heartland Men's Health Clinic up in Briarcliff. But on Monday we had two birds in the building. One survived, one passed away. Then we had the story at a batting practice before an MLB game on Monday afternoon where a pigeon was killed by a line drive. I have more bird news for you, Cody. This one takes us over to Japan. There's a worldwide problem with racing pigeon heists.
What?
Racing pigeon heists.
Okay.
In Japan, they're investigating the theft of about 70 racing pigeons from a 73-year-old man's home last week. The pigeons worth around $13,000.
What?
$13,000.
These pigeons are worth $13,000.
They were taken.
Am I in the wrong business?
They were taken from a shed between 6 and 10 p.m. The thief broke a lock to get in. The man who raises pigeons as a hobby was upset to find them gone. These birds are special because they're trained to race and then they return home. Police think someone who knows about pigeons might be involved. Since the theft was planned, he's racing. They're trained to know something about pigeons if they're stealing them. They fly right back home, man.
Because no one else is stealing a pigeon and being like, "I hope these pigeons are valuable." The street rats? I don't think so, man. Just air rats flying around. Gold, you and I are not thinking. I'd have been stunned if you had told me
pigeon racing.
Cody, let's get into this pigeon racing thing. You'd be like, "What the hell are you talking about?" I'm like, "These pigeons are worth $13,000."
Yeah.
We've talked about all kinds. We've talked about
Cody
virtual horses on this show. We've talked about starting a pizza place. There's lots of ways we've talked about making money on this show. Not once has anyone suggested pigeon racing. So I got to feel like you're in the game.
Guys, I just looked up a video. It's pretty interesting.
The races can vary in distance from around 62 miles to 620 miles.
Yeah.
The winner is determined by the speed of the pigeon, calculated by dividing the distance flown by the time taken, obviously. The racing homer is a breed of pigeon specifically bred for the sport. Stamina, speed, and homing instinct. They're trained to return to their home when released at various distances. Now, the training could go bad, though, right? Like, early on, you're like, I guess I didn't train this one right. I never flew back home. 660 miles, it could take a while for you to know if you actually train this bad boy.
What's going on with some of you? I'm watching a story on this right now. We're talking about it. And this one said, one pigeon sold for $1.4 million. You're like,
that must be a pretty good pigeon.
You're telling me there's a $1.5 million pigeon out there? For what? What do you get for winning this
thing? It's the best
thing?
Racer. They've got basically secretariat of the pigeon world.
It sounds like.
No kidding.
Do they stud out pigeons? Does it work the same way?
I mean, I would guess so. How else? How are you going to get your $1.4 million worth? How many races are you putting him in? How many races could
How
he possibly win to get $1.5 million worth of value unless he's a stud pigeon?
Yeah, like, is it the same concept as, you know, the horse that wins the Kentucky Derby or a Triple Crown and, like, you get studded out and then you find out at the Derby, like, all the horses had some lineage to Secretariat this past year or whatever that story was? Is that the same with the pigeons? Who's the – Cody, can you look up the most famous racing pigeon? Is there a famous racing pigeon?
Best racing pigeon of all time is what I'm going to search. And just see if he's like, he's the Patrick Mahomes of pigeons.
That's right. That's right.
Ooh.
Oh, here we go.
Famous pigeons.
Here it is.
G.I. Joe.
Dream Boy. Eurostar and the Duke.
Commando. Patty. These are some of the ones that are showing up for me.
Pigeoninsider.com. Who knew?
Pigeoninsider.com.
Pigeon racing pigeon.
Well, these are war pigeons. I'm sorry.
I'm seeing.
I was looking up hero pigeons. Apparently,
not the war pigeons. No. Talking about the racing.
I learned about the Dickin Medal, which is for the best war hero. Okay. Why are you giving a pigeon a medal? It does not care.
Oh, why does? Well, why a
horse? We don't give horses medals either.
No, but they get the giant, they get the rose,
wreath?
Wreath thing. Yeah. Anyway, what were you saying, Drew?
So there's a pigeon named New Kim that sold for $1.9 million at an auction in Belgium, demonstrating the high value placed on champion pigeons. There's also one called the King of Rome, which apparently inspired a song in a children's book in England.
Immediately, I think that this is a... Immediately, my instinct is this is money laundering for a drug cartel. And that this is like going to be season... When they bring back Ozark, this is what Marty's going to be working on for the next cartel.
Yeah.
Someone He's going to be buying racing pigeons in order to funnel their money.
Someone says that's 130 yen, not 130... Or that's not 100. Not $13,000. That's not what the article says. It literally has a United States dollar sign next to it. So I'm gonna go with the story. I obviously cannot verify, but the article 1,000% has a United States dollar sign next to it, as in $13,000. But I don't know. That is the trash of the day. Up next, we'll get to the Chiefs Red Half Hour. One thing that we've now started to realize about running backs in the NFL even more, and one stat that tells us about left tackles moving forward in the Chiefs organization.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Custom window treatments are a small upgrade that have a big impact. No better time to shop than now at Blinds.com's Memorial Day Mega Sale. Blinds.com invented a better way to shop for custom window treatments. 100% online with upfront pricing, no showroom markups, no pushy salespeople in your home. Whether you're a DIY warrior, prefer the white glove treatment, or somewhere in between, Blinds.com can help. Our design experts can help you make the perfect selection on your schedule. Plus, we can even handle everything from measure to install. Style every room effortlessly with classic shutters for living spaces, blackout for bedrooms, motorized options for ease, shades for your patio too. With over 25 million windows covered and 40,000 five-star reviews, Blinds.com is the trusted name in custom window treatments, all backed by our 100% satisfaction guarantee. Shop Blinds.com's Memorial Day Mega Sale. Save up to 50% site-wide. Plus, get a free measure now at Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
This season, let your shoes do the talking. Designer Shoe Warehouse is packed with fresh styles that speak to your whole vibe without saying a word. From cool sneakers that look good with everything to easy sandals you'll want to wear on repeat, DSW has you covered. Find a shoe for every you from the brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, New Balance, and more. Head to your DSW store or visit DSW.com today.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
Welcome in to the Chiefs Red Half Hour. Every day at 11:30 with Cody and Gold on your new home for Chiefs football. 96.5, The Fan.
And we are back here at Heartland Men's Health. broadcasting live at their Briarcliff location, the leading provider of men's sexual health treatments throughout the greater Kansas City area. This is just one of three area locations. For those of you closer to Independence, they've got a location conveniently located between Lee Summit and Blue Springs, right off of I-70 and I-470 intersections. Also out south, if that's where you reside, a little bit closer to Overland Park, Kansas, that's the location that they have as well. And of course, they specialize in men's restorative health. And you have heard, of course, over and over people, whether it's on this station or otherwise, talk about the serious nature of ED. Understanding ED and its impact also on relationships. It's more than just a medical condition. It could, unfortunately, be a relationship disruptor as well. It can take a toll on your sex life. It can often lead to major relationship issues. In fact, research does show that men often draw apart from their partners when ED affects their sex life. So stop putting it off. Figure out how they can move forward with you and find a treatment plan. Your initial visit is only $99 here at Heartland Men's Health. It includes blood work, PSA, and testosterone levels, and a medical consult with a licensed medical provider. You can schedule your appointment by going to heartlandmenshealth.com or give them a call at 844-447-6600. They also have walk-ins welcome until 3:30, so you don't even have to actually schedule an appointment. You're not going to be sitting around in a waiting room or anything like that. They will get you in right away as we continue broadcasting here up in Briarcliff.
I know we're talking about it's Chiefs Red Half Hour. I know we've been bogged down a couple of times, the last couple of times, but I want to get into some. Of course, the Chiefs Red Half Hour is brought to you by All Weather Decks, Kansas City's most respected deck builder. Check them out at allweatherdecks.net. But I was thinking about running back, and I came to a realization that I don't think that we've thought about, at least from the running back game, at least so far. And this is that running back has become more important in the NFL, and we agree there, right? Teams are taking it more serious. I figured out, one, why that is the case, and two, why the Chiefs have valued it less, in my opinion. The only investment they made in running back this offseason was Kareem Hunt, a 30-year-old veteran, and Breshard Smith, a seventh-round rookie. That's it. They didn't put some other investment inside of it other than the guy they already had in Isaiah Pacheco. I just meant...
I mean, I guess Elijah Mitchell, but I hear you.
Fine, I guess, but that's such a toss.
Oh, I'm with you. Yeah.
That might mean even less than Breshard Smith to me, but that's fine. And I realize it's because of one very obvious thing. Running back has become more important in the NFL because, statistically, teams are now more likely to go for it on fourth down than they ever have, which makes running on third down more of an option than it's ever been in the NFL. But guess who doesn't go for it on fourth down? The Chiefs. So for all the teams that now put an additional value on running back because running matters in more situations than it used to because of the aggressiveness that you can take from an offensive perspective, the fact that the Chiefs have not adopted that yet, Gold, means running back is still less important to them than everyone else in the league. Not because of Patrick Mahomes, but because of fourth down aggressiveness. Teams value it because you can run in more circumstances now. The Chiefs don't adopt that because they don't go for it as often on fourth down as everyone else.
That could be it. I mean, that could be it. I think as we discussed the offseason for the Chiefs, my biggest complaint, honestly, about the offseason was that they did not get more explosive at the running back position. You guys know that. We've talked about that a great deal. Going back to the draft, it's not a shot at Breshard Smith. It's just that I thought they should have devoted a little bit more resource to the running back spot. And this is always where, like, we'll get a text and it's like, oh my, how dare you be critical of the offense? No, if you're looking at how the offense could improve, one area is I thought they could be more explosive. And we just had a discussion about Xavier Worthy down the field. The other part of this is, can you be more explosive at the running back position? So I hear you that maybe that's how they're approaching it because they just view how they view fourth downs.
Yeah.
But I think in a bigger picture, if you're looking at your offense, if you're trying to be more explosive, in addition to just having a healthy Worthy, Rice, Hollywood Brown, Travis Kelce in their respective roles the way you intended last year to go, and hopefully it happens this year, the other area is, do you have a guy that can turn a 8-yard run because he's got good protection and good vision into a 20-plus yard run? And I would argue they really don't. While I think Isaiah Pacheco can be healthy with the full offseason again and remind us why he's the number one back, I really do think that's going to happen this year. I think we're going to get a reminder very quickly, like, oh, you know what? He's still pretty damn good.
Yeah.
He just was not healthy.
We're not claiming he's Saquon Barkley.
But they don't have a guy that can just break one of the house. They just don't. And maybe Breshard Smith can be that, I guess. I just wonder how much he's going to play his rookie season.
I don't know, man. I saw Lewis Riddick the other day called him a Alvin Kamara clone.
I mean, I love the comp.
With 4.3 speed.
Drew, it's a very fun comp. We all love comps.
That's what I want in the system, sure.
I mean, that type of explosive back would be phenomenal. I wonder how much – they don't have to keep everybody. Like, somebody's going to get cut or whatever. But Pacheco, Kareem Hunt, Elijah Mitchell, Breshard Smith, and a Carson Steele. Those are five running backs. None of them are making big money. I understand that. But like Pacheco obviously is going to make the team. He's going to be the number one running back, and he should be. Kareem Hunt sure seems like he'll be the number two, we think.
Yeah,
the question is Elijah Mitchell and Breshard Smith for me. Which one of those guys can carve out a role, third down back, a pass protector that can be a receiving back out of the backfield? Which one of those can fill that void? I don't think when you were saying, like, you know, looking at how the position's being invested, I never wanted them to go out and spend a ton of money on a veteran running back. Like, I know people threw out Aaron Jones.
No, I wanted them to draft
him. It was more about spending draft capital on a running back, not so much spending money. Yeah, Barkley got paid. Derrick Henry got paid. Those guys get paid. They're different, okay? I get why those guys get paid. I don't want, like, the 13th best running back getting paid in my system.
No, I don't really care that they spend the money on Elijah Mitchell versus somebody else. I just want them to invest a serious resource. Since Clyde Edwards-Helaire, they haven't even tried. And I'm not saying they haven't had any success because they did find a starting running back in Isaiah Pacheco. But a seventh-round running back, an undrafted running back in Carson Steele, Elijah Mitchell, Kareem Hunt, guys who were on the street during training camp, like available at any particular time, not even drafted guys. Elijah Mitchell, who I still don't understand why they paid as early as they did.
It's interesting. Who do you think has the highest ceiling in the running back room? I mean, some people will automatically say the rookie.
For this year or career?
For the next year or two, I would say. You know, I still think if we were to do it by ceiling, we know what Kareem Hunt is at this point. So, the ceiling
is
lower.
His floor is the lowest.
His floor is the highest because of what he is. You know what you're getting.
Elijah Mitchell's floor is the lowest.
Is that or the rookie? I mean, I think Elijah Mitchell, because of the health concern, is the lowest. But I also actually think he has the highest or second highest ceiling in the entire running back room. I still think Elijah Mitchell from a ceiling perspective would be one of the highest. Someone says we act like he slowly ran a 4.3. Oh, I know he ran at the combine. He doesn't play that fast, though. That's just we've all watched it. I think Elijah Mitchell has the highest ceiling out of anybody in the running back room.
Oh, man. What am I basing it off of? 10 games, probably his rookie year when he had 963 yards and 5 touchdowns.
Highest ceiling. Doesn't mean he gets there.
But that's no better than Isaiah Pacheco's best year. It's better than a yards per carry perspective, but not way different. I don't know. I mean, my whole thing with him is the man doesn't get on the field.
Fair.
Not a starting running back. Never really been a starting running back other than his rookie year when he replaced an injured guy and then hasn't been able to maintain that at any other particular point.
He just turned 27 like a week ago, I think.
Yeah, which by running back standards is maybe a little bit older. The other part for him is, for as much as we think of Elijah Mitchell as a capable back, he only has 28 career catches, 19 even in that year he started 10 games. I think Breshard Smith is the answer for highest ceiling. But that is because of pure...
Well, it's
because
you haven't seen anything.
Yeah, it's like only because, it is a wide unknown. Mm-hmm. What do I know? What do I know of Breshard Smith? Maybe he's a Alvin Kamara clone.
Yeah, I mean, if we look at college stats for the two,
okay,
almost identical in terms of what they did. Now, Kamara didn't run as much at Tennessee as Breshard Smith did when he was at SMU, so the stats look different if you look at the total numbers, but yards per attempt, the exact same about it.
Level too.
Yeah, correct. I mean, in fairness, SMU is in the ACC, but 5.7 for Smith, 5.8 for Kamara. He received about 320 yards his final season. Kamara was 392. Yards per reception is relatively similar for both of them, so they were effective out of both sides of the backfield. I get why the comparison's made from Lewis Riddick, just in terms of the former wide receiver to the running back and everything like that. I get why that comp was made.
I'm always interested when I see Lewis Riddick say that about a Chiefs player because he has done this over the years.
He's been right.
And he's been right. And
Trey Smith and Pacheco and Mahomes.
It's clearly information he's getting coming directly from the highest levels of the Chiefs organization. There's a clear track record. When Pacheco was coming out from Rutgers and we were heading into training camp that year, we could probably pull up a tweet. He said something very similar. they love Pacheco. Look at this guy is going to be a stud. And while he hasn't had a 1,000-yard season, he was correct. The Chiefs saw, not only liked him because they drafted him, but also what they saw in minicamp and OTAs. Whenever Lewis Riddick has singled out one Chiefs player heading into training camp, typically he's been correct. Now,
not 100% of the time. But
typically. Last year, the Carson Steele stuff got out of control, and he couldn't hold on the football, and he ran out of favor within the Chiefs organization during the season, very clearly. But I think we've seen this happen at the running back spot before, where Lewis Riddick has had that. That means it's coming from directly inside the Chiefs organization.
Cody, I wonder, so you said that the Chiefs don't try running back. I wonder if maybe they don't have to try, and I wonder if that's why they don't reach, I guess, and they don't think...
Like corner for the longest time?
Yeah, I wonder, because, and not that we've seen examples of running backs that haven't worked out, but obviously Clyde is the one example for Kansas City, but even throughout the league, like, the Falcons go up and they get Bijan. Obviously, that's super high, where they got him at 8, I think, or whatever. Yeah. But he hasn't panned out to be that much different than... he's got some skill, obviously, and he's good, but he's not... Maybe the Chiefs are looking at it from... The margin isn't that big between what Bijan Robinson is and a middle of the road running back.
We're willing to wait
and just play our cards with what we like and what fits our system, and that's who we're going to take, whether it's the fourth, fifth, sixth, or seventh round.
I guess so. Like Drew, I've heard people mention that before, but what's weird is that's clearly not how they always thought. They drafted a guy in the third round of Kareem Hunt. It made him one of the league's most explosive offenses to go with everything else. When they lost Kareem Hunt because he got kicked off the team, they tried to repeat that again with Clyde Edwards-Helaire because they were like, I don't know, man. It's kind of fun when we have an elite level back. And since then is when they've really kind of mailed it in at the running back position. And so, like, I don't know if that scared him away. And I told you that's just a bad way to operate in general. But
I'm
like,
sure somewhat it did, I bet.
Because this year, I guess the whole thing goes back to the draft, which is like, if there was a year to take a guy in the third round who normally would be available in the second or earlier or whatever, there were like your flavor. I mean, it was Baskin Robbins, 32 flavor, whatever kind of running back you wanted in the draft, you could have got. And they waited till the seventh round to get one. It just felt like, man, that's late. And maybe Rashard Smith's a dude. I hope he is. I hope he is Alvin Kamara, obviously. That would be great.
I mean, rookie year, you would take what Jerick McKinnon was best year as a member of the Chiefs. You would take that where he was a legitimate third down weapon in the passing game. They trusted him in pass protection, and that's where I still think the key, if we're up in St. Joe in a month and a half, 2 months, the key for him getting on the field is going to be, is he someone that they can trust in pass protection? We've just seen that time and time again. If you want Andy to have you on the field as a third down back, you better be able to protect as well. And we'll find out, what that's going to look like. But I honestly think the ceiling of all the backs heading into this season, the highest, I think it's Mitchell. I get your point about Smith because, he's a rookie, so why wouldn't his ceiling be extremely high? Totally get
Essentially,
it.
Essentially, his ceiling is limitless because I've never watched him even on a football field for an NFL team.
But so we'll see. I mean, a lot of the running back concern goes away if they're able to execute the way we think they can in the passing game. I just think they go hand in hand, right? If you have a threatening running game, that should also not allow teams to play the same way that they have in terms of your pass coverage as well. So all of it works together if you have obviously a well-balanced offense. They're always going to be a pass-heavy offense, though, as they should be. They have Patrick Mahomes as their quarterback. They have Travis Kelce still. They have weapons on the outside. Yeah, and they're not. They're not going to, under Andy Reid, they're never going to not be that. But you got to have some threat that a running back can touch the football in an offense and he can take one to the house.
Yeah.
And I don't think they have had that in a while.
We'll see if they run on the left side this year. Earlier we had mentioned there's a stat on left tackle, which I think it's only a left tackle stat, if we're being honest. The 33rd team had put out their quick list. It's like 10 offensive linemen who haven't given up a sack last year. And you look at that and you're like, oh, okay. It's actually 11 players. 11 players last year managed to give up one or zero sacks last year. You're like, wow, pretty impressive. Only four of them, by the way, gave up zero. Of those four, they are Trey Smith, Creed Humphrey, and Joe Tooney. So they're 4 of 11, or if you're just feeling like being even more kind, they're 3 of the 4 players in the entire NFL last year who did not manage to give up a single sack in the NFL. I think Patrick Mahomes helps all sack stats because I think he's good at sack evasion. He's way better than most quarterbacks in the league. It might be one of his best skills people don't talk about is his ability to keep himself standing upright versus the quarterbacks who run into sacks. like Joe Burrow and other guys we've talked about, like having a problem of making that issue worse. But the idea that there were only 11 players in the NFL to give up one or fewer sacks in the entire year, and that three of them were on the Chiefs, should tell you everything about just how bad left tackle was last year. And honestly, credit to the Chiefs, Gold, in a lot of ways, for covering it as well as they did. Because you might be saying, like, what do you mean covering it as well as they did? They went 15-2, and we didn't say much about it until they got their ass kicked in the Super Bowl. Not that it never got brought up, but we weren't, like, dragging them in Week 9 when they were trying to switch over to DJ Humphries. We're like, yeah, it's a problem, but they're making it work. And then they put Joe Tooney over there, and like, but they're making it work. They covered this way better because of the elite level of the offensive line in the interior. Now the question is,
well,
of course,
Joe Tooney,
can they maintain
right?
that? Yeah. Because now Joe Tooney's it's, gone.
Joe Tooney's why they were really able to do it as well. Of course, Creed Humphrey and Trey Smith. There's a reason why those guys are about.
Sure.
You know, one of them's about to get paid a ton of money. And Trey Smith, he's already signed a franchise tag. We all know Creed Humphrey is one of the highest, and actually, he is the highest paid center in football. And Trey Smith's the highest paid guard, even off the franchise tag alone before a long term deal. The question is. You're going to be worse no matter what at left guard. Like, that's the guarantee. And that Kingsley or Mike Caliendo or the veteran guy they just signed from the Rams or whatever it was last week, or, yeah, over the weekend, none of those guys are going to be Joe Tooney. Joe Tooney's an all-pro, a future Hall of Fame. If there's
Joe Tooney doesn't exist.
Guards are tough to get in the Hall of Fame, but if there was one, he's got a chance, okay? And he got a nice extension in Chicago. So you're worse at left guard. The question is the balance. Okay, I was an all-pro at left guard. Now I'm going to get, let's call it average play, hopefully a worst-case scenario, left guard. But I was getting average, below average at left tackle. So if I can get above average-ish left tackle play from either Jalen Moore, question mark, Josh Simmons, question mark, then does the left guard thing balance out and you're just a better unit as a whole? And
yes.
That's what the first month of the season is going to be all about. And the first week at training camp, I'm going to be curious. Does Jalen Moore get the immediate first team reps at left tackle? Or is it Josh Simmons, who the Chiefs continue to claim will be ready for training camp? And I hope that's the case. I'm skeptical about it, but I hope that's the case. That'd be an amazing thing.
I think there's no way now. Like, seeing that stat, I think saying average left tackle play was overstating it. They got bottom five left tackle play last year. They started four different guys, including a guard. I mean, they were one of the five worst teams at left tackle in the entire NFL last year. Somehow still went 15-2.
They ended the season, though,
still
with Joe
Tooney. They ended
the season, with Joe Tooney at left tackle, which was giving them average-ish left tackle play.
Yeah, yeah. But, like, on the aggregate, for the full season, bottom five play at left tackle out of any team in the NFL.
Yeah.
I don't know how to view it any other way besides that, really, at this point. They started a guy who they immediately benched. They started another guy who eventually got hurt. They tried to sign a third guy in DJ Humphries, who also got hurt, then eventually switched over to their guard, as you mentioned, late in the season, and settled for average left tackle play, average guard play. Because I would argue they got average guard play out of Caliendo. Maybe that's because of Tooney. Maybe that's because of Creed Humphrey and Trey Smith making your life easier on the center and right side of the line perspective, and you and I both know that Juwan Taylor, for all the complaints we have about him, he's an average left tackle or right tackle. So, like, it's not perfect with him either. But he's not, like, he's not holding you back. I think they might have been the worst team. Without having to do research on all 32 teams, I wouldn't be shocked to find out they were the worst team at left tackle in the NFL last year on aggregate. It was bad. Really bad.
While also
I'm borderline
getting,
blown away they covered it as long as they did.
While also getting, you know, average-ish tackle play on the right side.
Yeah, they got elite-level middle-of-the-line play. That's why they could cover it. They covered it because the three guys, as we just pointed out, Gold, who were in the middle of the line, did not give up a single sack. They were one of only four players in the entire NFL last year to not give up a single sack. Three of the four of them. The only other guy, congratulations, Tyler Linderbaum, is the only other player who did not give up a sack.
I still always, you know, wonder what the heck was going on. Maybe it just tells us, again, as we know, they didn't have anybody else in the room, but how Kingsley just seemingly just no
won
issue
the job
won the job with
Turns
ease.
Turns out he wasn't competing against anybody, man.
Exactly, yeah.
That's what it is.
That's what it, because at first we were like, oh, if he won the job, wow, he's not going to, we thought there was going to be a competition. No, he just won the job, and he played 2 weeks, obviously, or a game and a half or whatever it was, and then he was benched, and we never saw it again, you know, and then it was a Wanya Morris thing. So just how was that? That's what, even though you're right that they didn't have anybody behind him, Wanya Morris still looked better than he did. So how on, like, just...
Wanya's knee must be just a mess.
How on earth did that happen during camp? Was that just the, hey, we know that from a physicality standpoint, Kingsley looks the part. He looks the part, right? Because he does. Kingsley looks the part, size-wise and everything, but obviously was not ready to play left tackle in the NFL not a left tackle in the NFL.
That makes me also think, though, that if Simmons is available, like if the doctors say he's healthy, I think he's the favorite to win the job then.
I mean, he'll have a lot more competition he'll have a lot more competition than Kingsley had.
Sure.
Because a guy who started at left tackle for an NFL team last year is on the roster, you know? Like, he'll have more competition. I think he should be, Drew. But again, this health thing is going to, like...
Yeah, I'm just not convinced that.
Yeah, I don't know if they mean it or not.
I'm still not convinced that when the first day in St. Joe, he's getting immediate reps with the first team. I'm not convinced... And I wonder still if it gets to the point where they're like, well, hey, remember this injury was severe. It was a serious injury in October. Medicals, we feel great about him. We just want to give him a little bit more time. The next thing you know, it's 2 weeks in a training camp and he hasn't got a first team rep. And then it's pretty obvious that it's Jalen Moore's job. I hope I'm wrong because long term, Josh Simmons needs to be the guy that needs to be the one that works out.
Yeah. Otherwise, they're back in the market next
year.
Trading up, signing the biggest free agent left tackle, whoever it is. They're right back to having to spending cash, and at least they'd have a little bit more because Juwan Taylor beat the end of his deal. But I don't want to go into every year gold wondering who the left tackle is next year. They've had five different starting left tackles in five different Super Bowls. It's probably about time to stop that.
Up next, we will get to what's trending. We'll talk a little bit more about the Royals, including their captain struggling at the plate. And if it isn't broken, why would a team try to fix this with one of their top picks in the draft? We'll try to figure that out next.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Custom window treatments are a small upgrade that have a big impact. No better time to shop than now at Blinds.com's Memorial Day Mega Sale. Blinds.com invented a better way to shop for custom window treatments. 100% online with upfront pricing, no showroom markups, no pushy salespeople in your home. Whether you're a DIY warrior, prefer the white glove treatment, or somewhere in between, Blinds.com can help. Our design experts can help you make the perfect selection on your schedule. Plus, we can even handle everything from measure to install. Style every room effortlessly with classic shutters for living spaces, blackout for bedrooms, motorized options for ease, shades for your patio too. With over 25 million windows covered and 40,000 five-star reviews, Blinds.com is the trusted name in custom window treatments, all backed by our 100% satisfaction guarantee. Shop Blinds.com's Memorial Day Mega Sale. Save up to 50% site-wide. Plus, get a free measure now at Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Dollar Shave Club delivers premium razors without premium prices. Get close, comfortable six-blade shaves, Swift Rinse and four blades for thicker hair, and translucent shave butter for precision. Visit DollarShaveClub.com/homerun. Use promo code HOMERUN for 20% off.
Nerds. Making financial decisions shouldn't feel like picking a TV show. Too many options, too much hype, and no way to know what's actually good. NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast cuts through the clutter. Their finance journalists break through real-world money decisions with clear, research-backed insights. From investing to home buying to credit cards, the nerds help you navigate major financial decisions with confidence. Leave TV to fate. Leave your next financial move to the nerds. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
Question for our listeners. Which automaker assembles the most vehicles in the country? Here's a hint. It's the same one that employs the most hourly workers in the country, and the answer is Ford. That's not a coincidence. It's a commitment. A commitment your local Ford stores share. And that is why Ford is now offering employee pricing across their full lineup of vehicles, which means you pay what they pay. So visit your local Ford stores today to take advantage of this great opportunity. Ford Motor Company. From America, for America.